Good morning. All right, you guys are awake. That's good. All right, boundaries. That's awesome. Thanks for being here. And as we continue to talk about this very important aspect of relationship, which is boundaries. Last week we talked about loyalty, and today we will explore boundaries. You know, every time I preach, there's a theme. There's always an overarching theme that it is in my heart, it is in my mind, that I try to explore and see the biblical truth that comes from it. This is the theme that I have for you today. Boundaries protect your identity by defining your relationships. Let me say that again. Boundaries protect your identity by defining your relationships. Boundary is not something that I come up with or psychology came up with. Boundary is something that Jesus Christ himself demonstrated to us through his life in the Gospels. When we read the Gospel, we spend a little bit of time with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see that Jesus lived a well-defined life. And this morning, I would like to start this sermon by exploring John chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and open with you. You can go ahead and open them. If you have a phone, you have a wireless that you can connect to, and you can look through your phone too. You got a Bible that way. If you see that's how you want to participate in that. John chapter 2, verses 1-5. This is a passage where people sometimes have a question about Jesus' actions here, his attitude towards his mom. And I think if we pay attention and look through in these verses through the lenses of boundaries, I think you have a much better understanding of what Jesus was trying to do in this passage. This is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Mary already had an idea more or less about who Jesus was and what he was trying to accomplish. It is the passage where Jesus performed his first miracle. Mary here had a little bit of intention, you know, she was had a little bit of agenda for Jesus to fulfill. And let's read it. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciple. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to his servants, "Do whatever he tells you." A lot of people, when reading this passage, and even I myself, when I first read this passage, I'm like, whoa, 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 Jesus is not nice here, right? He's like, "Mom, it's not your business what I'm here to do. Don't tell me what to do, woman. I'm going to do whatever I want to do." No, not really, right? But he was like, "No, this is not my time." He knew exactly what he was there for and what he needed to do in that place. Boundaries. It's very important because it starts with Jesus. He illustrated that to us. And we as Christians, as his followers, we ought to do the same. So it is important for us to set boundaries. So I have a little test for you this morning, okay? I have a little test for you to see if you are someone who are good with setting boundaries, or if you're not so good in setting boundaries. I'm from Brazil, right? So that's why you hear my voice is a little bit different, right? It is nothing to do with me. There is everything to do with your ears. So if you didn't wash right, that's what happened. You hear a little accent. But I have a question for you right there, okay? So here's the questions. The more you answer yes, the worse you are in setting boundaries. So don't answer a lot of yes, right? I'm from Brazil, and in Brazil, we don't set boundaries. So we are very bad at it. So when I start reading these questions and testing, I was like, oh my goodness. I start saying yes, yes, yes. I found out that, like, I can't preach this sermon. I got to find somebody else to preach it. So I brought Carrie Hoover. She's going to come pretty soon here. So here's the question. The first one, do you feel guilty when trying to say no? Therefore, you say yes to people and situations because it is easier. Are you the kind of person who feel guilty in saying no and therefore, you know, you just say yes, yes, yes? The second one is this. Are you the kind of person who, do you let misunderstanding pass by hoping for the best? Do you let misunderstanding pass by so that you don't have to deal with the drama that might come with it? Do you tell people what they want to hear rather than speaking the truth? Are you the kind of person who, this is yes or no questions, right? This is not like maybe, no, this is like yes or no, right? Don't cheat, okay? The other one, do you fix other people's problems for them regardless of feeling or how uncomfortable you feel? Do you take the blame for other people's problems? Are you the kind of person who takes the blame for the people's problems, yes or no? Do you put up with certain people's behavior because you are scared of losing their affections or approval? Go back on that one, Danny. Are you the kind of person who does that? Who put up with some certain behaviors because you're scared that you're going to lose that individual love and affection and approval? Do you say yes because you are fearful of disapproval? I say yes to my wife all the time because I'm scared of disapproval. I'm joking. Well, it's true. Well, there's a different reason why I say yes. I just don't want to sleep on the couch every night. Do you often feel depressed, exhausted, and unsupported? Do you have trouble speaking up and asking for support? Do you find it difficult to identify who you are, what you stand for, what you will or not tolerate, and backing it up with courage and action? Do you have a difficult time doing that? That's the last one. I hope you answer those questions. And the more you answer, it's true, it determines the last acquainted with setting boundaries you are. As I was answering this question, when I got to number 7 and I said yes, yes, yes to all of them, I already knew that I was in trouble, right? So if you answer 8 or all of them, yes, 8 or more, you have trouble setting boundaries. If you said yes to between 7 and 5, you have limited ability to create boundaries in your life, and it is difficult to attach yourself to the work and the goals and finding meaning to what you do every day. You really don't know who you are. You're trying to still understand who you are, identify yourself. If you said yes between 2 and 4, even though you have a limited ability to do so, you're still not certain about different aspects of the areas of your life. Now, if you said yes to just 2 of them, that means you're like a boundaries expert. And that's great. And that's the goal for us here this morning, for us to learn a little bit about boundaries. As we continue to live life, we're to continue to explore this subject so that you get good at it. For many, setting boundaries is just a psychological tool. But for us, as Christians, for us, those who love Jesus, it's not a psychological tool. It is really a spiritual discipline. It helps us in becoming more and more like Jesus. It helps us and establish our identity in Jesus Christ. It is following the steps of Jesus. He was very effective in setting boundaries, and so should we. A lot of people, when they're thinking about boundaries, they think about taking control of relationships. Let me propose something here, a little bit odd maybe, but let me tell you this. Boundaries is not about taking control of relationships, but really harnessing and taking control of your own life, your own self. I believe that creating boundaries is about letting go of control in relationships and really taking control about your own personality, about your identity of who you are. It's really understanding who you are. It's about living in self-control. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 23, when Paul tells us to live life with self-control, he's telling us, listen, understand who you are, create an awareness of who you are, and live by that. When you understand yourself, when you live by that understanding, you're able then to deal with difficult people and difficult situations, and you live by your strengths and not by your weaknesses. I like to call boundaries living by strengths. personal boundaries are what define your identity. You are able to say then, this is who I am. This is me. This is what I value. This is what I'm good at. This is what I'm bad at. You're able to say then and communicate well to people, this is what I believe, this is what I need, this is what I feel. And it also lets you know about, let people know about, and yourself know about who you are not. A lot of people is trying to figure out who you are, and that's great, that's commendable, and you ought to do that. I just talked about that. But it's also important for you to define for yourself and for other people who you are not. And boundaries allow you to do that. When you create boundaries, you start operating by your strengths. You allow your weakness to, you understand who you are, so you know what is the strength, the strong part of who you are, and the weaknesses of yourself. The better your boundaries of self-awareness and self-definitions are set, the better is your ability to then serve other people. And I think that's why Jesus is so great. Because he set boundaries, he understood his identity, he knew his mission, and he stayed within that. Anybody who tried to barge in, he kept them on the outside. And in the process, he was able to save life. My father-in-law have a farm that, one time we got, you know, they have a wooded area that people likes to hunt there. And one time, we go back there to visit, and there is like orange, no trespassing sign everywhere marking the land. He didn't want anybody to hunt in his place for several reasons. And so when we got there, we could see the defined lines of where his property was. We all have seen those trespassing signs, and we know that when we cross those, some consequences is going to come to your life, to our lives. And if you violate that, you're in trouble. This type of boundary is important and is good, but it's very easy to understand and easy to see. Personal boundary is different. It's harder to be defined and difficult to build because the lines are invisible. It can change often, is unique to the individual, and it's very personal thing. So that's one of the reasons why it is hard. The other reason why it's hard is because fear and guilty really tries to drive how we do this. We are afraid. We are afraid of rejection or abandonment. We have fear of confrontation, right? So many times in creating boundaries, you need to communicate with the person, the boundaries, and that can create some very difficult times in relationship. But it's important. Personal boundaries is like the non-transpassing sign that define the end of you and the beginning of someone else. It determines the amount of physical and emotional space you allow between you and another person. Personal boundaries help you decide what time type of communication, values, behavior, interaction you accept is acceptable to you. I was in Home Depot with my wife not too long ago. We were remodeling a house that we had, and we went to Home Depot and was looking for different bolts on the wall there, and we were having a difficult time to find it. And we asked this guy a question, one of the guys who work at Home Depot, and he called my wife, "Yes, honeybee." And she was like, "Woo, woo, 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 woo," and touched her from the side. You know, like, you know when you come to a guy come and tap you on the shoulder from the other side? It's like, "Yes, honeybee," whispering in her ear. She was like, "You." So the guy went on, she looked at me like, "He called me honeybee, and he touched my shoulder." And I was like, "Why? What's the big deal about that? The guy just liked you, man. Come on. He just, you know." So if you want to make my wife mad, call her honeybee. She's going to sting you right there. Well, one of the things that, boundaries, what is accepted and what is not. One of the things that I didn't understand when I first came to America is the personal boundaries that Americans have, right? In Brazil, when you talk to someone, friend or not friend, you're just having a conversation with someone, you're right here, right? We are talking, it's face-to-face, it's right there, it's close, you know, it's like, it's personal, we think, you know, it's like, it's great. But then you come to America, you're going to talk to somebody, what is it? 3 foot, right? Hey, don't come close to me, right? So the person is over there and you're over here, and then you were talking. And I'm like, oh, this is so cold. This is just not how we do things in Brazil. So what do? You come close to the person, right? And as soon as you come close, what happened? They step back. And you're like, what's going on here, right? It's like, come on, are you kidding me? So you step back, and the person trying to set in the boundaries, they're like, listen, I have something called personal space. Don't invade that. So the person is step back. So then by that time, I'm already thinking like, man, do I stink, you know? Do I, you know, smelling my own breath? You know, that's why I always get a little candy right there. So, you know, make sure you don't smell them. Well, anyways, that's, I'm going off track here. So you always, you know, there's always that personal thing. And until one day where I got closer to this guy and he's like, Sam, step away from me, man. You're invading my personal space. And I was like, personal space? I didn't know of such a thing, right? I didn't know such a thing exists, a personal space. Oh, did you buy it? How much did you pay for it? You know, I want some too. Sometimes as a Brazilian, we are so excited and we want to move closer and we want to be together with you. But that's like, if you don't understand boundaries, and then there's all kind of things that happens, right? You start taking personal. Oh, that person doesn't like me. Is that why? Because I'm bald, right? What's going on? Why does I didn't understand it for the longest time. I thought, oh, Americans are cold. Have you ever heard that before? You know, Americans are cold. They don't like to talk to people. It is not about the individual. It is about the culture and boundaries. And once you understand that, you can then start operating well in your relationships. When I understood that as a foreigner to America, I start to see things with different eyes, with fresh eyes. And I think that's important. I think that might illustrate why boundaries are so important. I've told you I'm bad at it, so I have a great help this morning here with me, Kerry Hoover. Come forward, Kerry. Thank you for agreeing to be part of this. I will allow Kerry to introduce herself to you. She's great at it, and she's my... Okay, I didn't give you a high five on the first one, so here we go. Thanks for doing that. I really appreciate your help, your wisdom. I said this before, I continue to say that. I believe God has given us a great ability, a gift in psychology, and I think you are very gifted. So thanks for sharing your gift with us this morning.
Thank you for having me. And yeah, just a little bit about myself. About 10 years ago, I found myself a single mom with 2 daughters, 1 and 3, and knew that I needed to change direction in my life. And I really felt God leading me to a place I'd always wanted to go, which was to be a counselor. And I decided to go to Ashland Theological Seminary, and I've got my clinical counselor license there. And so I've been doing that since about 2010, and really just since getting married and recognizing that I myself failed the boundary test, realized that the best way to learn something is to teach it.
There you
and
go.
So I started teaching boundaries as an intern. Back when I was an intern, I would lead groups on boundaries, and really in light of being sacrilegious maybe, I determined that this was my second Bible that I was going to use, and have read the book many times just to really get a good grasp on what boundaries is, and just really find it to be such a great direction for life.
Yes. Well, Kerry and I, we have spent a little bit of time through the week talking about boundaries, and it became one of my favorite subjects, and because I'm not good at it, even in a personal life, on a work life, in relationships, you know. And in studying it, I found that there are different types of boundaries, and you explain them so well, so help us out. You're good at it.
All right, I'm glad you think I'm so good at
this. See, I'm passing the ball, right? Yeah. When you don't know what you're doing, you let somebody else do it for you. So let's sit and learn, okay?
First of all, you did an amazing job of explaining what boundaries are, and I really loved how you explained that it really highlights what our strengths are instead of our weaknesses. I think one of the important things to note is that there's different kinds of boundaries. There can be functional boundaries, and there can be relational boundaries, which you talked about in that sense of relational boundaries can be harder to define, but for some people, even functional boundaries, you know, tasks and jobs and that sort of thing can also be hard for people who are always late. You mm-hmm. know, those can be a weakness for them. But it's important to know that there's a difference in that. And you can be strong in one area and weak in another. And there are certainly are different types of boundaries as well, of which you touched on a few of that. You know, there's cultural differences.
Well, like you talk about time, I'm always late, right? Mm-hmm. And I always blame my Brazilian culture. Yeah, it's true, because we don't set boundaries. And then, yeah. you know, we invade some of space. That's good.
I think you tend to look at your culture, right? And it may be that your culture teaches boundaries differently, and that the personal space is closer or time is less defined than it is here in America. But you know, definitely that's good for us to recognize is what is our physical boundary. We have emotional boundaries. We even have spiritual boundaries. How close are we going to let God in?
Yes. One of the things that I mean, We have talked about so many of them. I think one of the things we haven't talked much is spiritual boundaries, you know, relate to beliefs and experiences and connecting with God. I mean, so many times we as pastor and as members, so many times that division is not there. There's so much abuse from like pastors, you know, towards the members because the members doesn't know how to create boundaries, and the pastor take advantage of that into their spiritual life and make some demands that is sometimes even ungodly, right? So I think that's one of this, as I was studying, this is one of the things that I was like, oh my goodness, I need to understand the spiritual boundaries. Is there anything about spiritual boundaries between pastors and members that you have ever talked about?
Well, I think it's just, it's important to recognize that Jesus is obviously our greatest example of how to do that. He was our spiritual leader, and mm-hmm. he was very good at recognizing what people's strengths were and where and what they could do. And he obviously put a lot of people in place that was against their culture at the time. And I think that for pastors, you probably get that sense of pressure of, I need people serving on the music team. We don't have enough people doing that. We don't have enough people back in the children's service area. And you can forget that people might have a hard time saying no, right? Mm-hmm. And also that idea of manipulation and guilt, which,
yes.
you know, not only pastors do that, parents can do that, partners can do that. To be able to fulfill that ultimately with a selfish need that I need filled. And, you know, I think it's really important for someone to recognize that just like I want people to respect my boundaries, I need to be able to respect other people's boundaries. Mm-hmm. And that's it's a good gauge on how well you're doing with boundaries, on how you react to someone else putting a boundary on you.
One of the biggest ones is emotional boundaries, right? I think we need to distinguish about different emotions and how to set that around people. And I think emotional boundaries will allow people from being like abused, you know, misguided, demands, you know. Talk to us a little bit about the importance of emotional boundaries in relationships.
Well, I think, again, it really just comes down to recognizing where you have, where you begin and where someone else begins, mm-hmm. like you mentioned already, is that it's such a good reminder of saying, okay, am I doing this because I need someone's approval? Am I doing this because they might not love me if I don't do that? And that's a good warning signal for you that your boundary is misplaced. If you think that because saying no, whether that's to a physical advance or to words of manipulation, that something's wrong there in that relationship, it's a good red flag for you.
You talk about, you started a no conversation. I mean, I don't know how many of you guys here like to say no. Anybody here like to say no? I think it's one of the biggest problems of human beings, right? Saying no. I mean, my wife tells me no all the time, and that's fine, right? But no, I'm joking. But like, one of the things that I learned was that saying no is like a freedom thing, right? It's freedom in protection. Telling your kid no is like, it's protecting them. It's giving them freedom. And Jesus was good in saying no. He said no to a bunch of inappropriate behavior. In Luke chapter 5, there was like some demands that he didn't meet. Abuse, he said no to abuse, to entitlement, to baiting questions, to cynicism, to manipulation, to pride, to addiction, to misguidance. So no, it is such an important word. And I think it has to do with these emotional boundaries here. Why can't we not say no? Why is it that we always upholding, like holding back into saying no to people?
I think one of the biggest reasons we say no is because the reaction we get is disappointment or it's anger, possibly. Mm-hmm. And I think that we forget that that's more about them than it is about us. And I think Jesus was a great example of that. If he really knew what he was responsible for, right? He said, mm-hmm. I am here to teach you. I know what my mission is. I know what I came to do. So I can say no to time. I can point out wrong behavior and step back from that. And he just really was able to do that. And I think we should be able, that's what we should strive to do, right? Is to recognize that what's about them and what's about us.
Yes, and so how do we communicate our boundaries and expectations well with people? Another thing that Jesus did well was that he had expectations for people. We talked about that. He was like, Matthew chapter 20, he asks, what you want me to do for you? What is it that you want? You know, there's two blind men and they're asking Jesus, hey, Jesus. And Jesus is like, what do you want? You know, we talk about for 38 years, this guy is seated on the well and Jesus come to him. He's like, do you want to get well? And he's like, well, I want to, but nobody's trying to blame people. And Jesus is like, dude, if you don't do something about it, I'm not doing something about for you either, you know. Or with Martha and Mary, when Jesus was raising Lazarus from the death, and before that, he was like telling, I am the life, I'm the resurrection. Do you believe this? Do you believe that I can give you life? And they were like thinking about some other stuff, you know. But Jesus was like, he had expectations for people. And so creating boundaries, expectations is creating boundaries, right?
That's a good start, yes.
Yeah, and so how do we communicate well our boundaries and our expectations to people so that they can, so that we can have a healthy relationship with them?
Well, I think one, it's being very aware of what you are called here to do. You know, what is your strength? What is your job, so to speak? Ultimately, we're here to glorify God. And so we have to remember that, you know, and Jesus was very clear about what you need to take care of and what I need to take care of. And so we need to, in order to practice that, we need to be very aware of who we are and what we're here to do. And practice saying no to the things that don't fit into that. I think it's a good idea to start practicing little no's.
Well, here's the thing. So when we say no, people often get upset, right? Mm. So one of the questions that I have here is like, am I responsible to the other person's reaction for me setting boundaries in our relationship?
You are responsible to that person. So mm-hmm. if you consider that like I am responsible to be kind, I'm responsible to be respectful and really to get the message across, as long as I am being God-honoring and God-centered, then your reaction is one that is not my responsibility. I can't do that for you. I can't make you not angry. I can't make you not disappointed. What I can help you understand is that what my responsibility is, and possibly teach you what your responsibility is by saying no.
That's awesome. I think one of the things that we talked about today is the responsibility to and for someone, right? I think in boundaries that was so enriching. Do you remember us having that conversation?
I remember us talking about it, and you know, and I think that's one of the foundations of boundaries, is that you really have to recognize what you're responsible to and what you're not responsible for. And we talked about Jesus talking to the rich young ruler who came to him, and Jesus really said, "This is what you need to do." That was his responsibility, to teach and to show him what to do. And as we know, the man went away sad because he said, I can't give up my money. But Jesus didn't say, well, I'll help you. Well, mm-hmm. I'll walk beside you. Well, I'll do that for you. And in that regard, I think Jesus is an excellent example for us on that. Was a very sad outcome for that gentleman. But it was, Jesus did what he was supposed to do. And it's up to you to do your part.
Yes, and I think that's one of the biggest problems in our culture today, right? It goes back to one of those first questions that I ask. Because so many times there are people blaming us for their problems. And then because we feel guilty and ashamed and like we don't want to look like selfish, we're like, okay, I'm going to go get this done for you, right? And it's really enabling like this very unhealthy characteristic on our culture right now. Where, especially the young adults, where they don't understand that aspect of life, so they're blaming other people and expect them to do whatever for them.
And I don't think it's just young people that do that. Yeah. I think everyone, you know, really has this idea of, I don't want to be embarrassed. I don't want to look bad. You know, you think about parents who do things for their children that their children need to learn to do for themselves. It's because it's easier, because it's convenient, because it saves maybe embarrassment. Mm-hmm. You know, and we have to question our motives on why we're doing those things. Why do we feel that drive to do something for somebody that they really should be taking care of themselves? Is that about us because we want to save ourselves time and embarrassment, or is it because they are incapable of doing it?
Yes, and I think, so you're open a can there. how can I overcome then this feeling of guilt and shame? It's like, because we often don't want to deal with the problem, right? Here's the problem I have seen so many times lately. We're going off track a little bit here.
Yeah.
But people just don't want to deal with people. So we'll do whatever it takes not to deal with you. So,
right.
So we scratch people so easily, you know what, I don't want to deal with you, so get out of my way. I'll get this done, so get out of my way, right? That's just a disservice to ourselves and to our culture.
You're definitely opening a can of worms there.
Yeah.
I think what you're really talking about is being uncomfortable with negative feelings. Mm-hmm. And when people are like, well, that's getting into an area where I'm really uncomfortable, I'll just walk away. And we talked about that earlier, about that idea of boundaries are really a fence, mm-hmm. that have a gate. And that gate can let good things in just as much as it can let bad things out. And if you put in a concrete wall, that's what happens. You walk away from relationships instead of making them better. You don't let those good things come in that come out of conflict, that come out of kind of the struggle with each other.
Last question. I think it's a tricky one. What does the process of creating boundaries look like, and how do we enforce boundaries? I think really, how do we enforce boundaries in our relationships?
Well, I think the good thing is that as you teach this community, that now you have a community that says, yay, boundaries, and they can really support each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the key things to starting boundaries, is to really have a community of people that say, this is a good thing. I recognize what you're doing. To have a support system, to have a friend even that you can practice and say, this is what I want to say. And really just go from there and that idea. But most importantly is that you have that relationship first with the person, that you really are setting boundaries with people that you trust and that love you and will do that in return for you.
So don't sacrifice relationships for boundaries. Or create boundaries so that relationships now sacrifice.
You want relationships to grow unless they're unsafe, unless there's something in that really there needs to be a very firm boundary. But in relationships that have potential to be healthy and to grow, I think it's a good idea to just start with little boundaries. Maybe that's time, or maybe that's using different words with each other.
One last one. How do you enforce boundaries though? Straightforward, say it, hey, this is my boundaries, you better stay behind of that fence or what? If you jump, I'm going to shoot you. No, just joking.
If you ask my kids, they'd probably say that's how I
hang
out boundaries. But yeah, use your words, right?
Mm-hmm.
Communication is the key to that. Speak it out loud. Let people know, you know, what your boundary is. I think you demonstrated that well. Hey, I'm Brazilian, right? This is what we do in my country. So they recognize where you're coming from. We can do the same thing, right? I need that 3 feet of space. This
mm-hmm.
is good.
So, okay, one last one. So here, I know, I'm sorry. In relationships like this too. So I came to America. You have your boundaries. I have my boundaries. You're enforcing your boundaries because I'm trying to get close. And you're like, stepping back. And then you're like, hey, wait a second. I need a space. When do we decide whose boundaries should override the other person's boundary?
Oh, you are getting so deep on me here.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Dina. This one is a curveball. It is a curveball. Because at some point, somebody has to say, okay.
You have to determine where the boundary is going to injure someone. What you don't want to be is a boundary pusher who says, well, I don't care that your boundary is that, mine is this, and so I'm going to run over you. So you really want to lead towards the most fragile person in that relationship. Who needs what the most? And because our responsibility to a person is to care for them and mm-hmm. to love them like Christ loves them. And Christ was not cruel in any way or overrunning people and saying, well, you know, this is what has to happen right now.
So humility is important in caring about.
Loyalty to the person.
Yeah. That's awesome. Thanks, Carrie. You're the best, girl.
Thank you.
So I'll pray. But remember, Carrie's going to, it's not only boundaries that she's going to be helping us out. She's going to be talking to us about all the different ones. Empathy is the next one that she'll be helping us with. And I hope that you take notice of that, that she is here at the church too to help you out. She works for Cornerstone Family Services. Her information is in the foyer. You can call the office through the week and we'll get you more information about her and what she does. I know that God has given her a great gift and I'm thankful for it. So thanks for helping us. Thanks for coming as a family and helping us out. Let me pray.